settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Again, and welcome to the Spirit's Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
And I'm Mick Avery. Hi.
Mick and I are mediums who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. We focus on education, and on this show, through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truth as to the nature of your existence direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be continuing our topic on development of our gifts of spirit, and this is part five. So if you have any problems that you have with your spirit development, or you're sitting for spirit, or even your attunement to your own spirit, whatever it is that you'd like to know, then do phone us on our toll-free number in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227, and Canada is 888-810-8322.
Well, hello. I'm Mick Avery. And as well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com on Mondays at 7 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST, we've got another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, Book and Akashic Reading, or any of the other services that we offer, we suggest you go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. Now, as regular listeners will know, each week live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England. But now he has come back to share the vast insights and wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth plane. Now, we don't spend a long time on small talk or chit-chat at the start of our shows, because we try to utilize the short amount of time that we have as best we can and save it for what really matters, which is beings in the spirit world and getting their information across to you. So I'm going to pass you over to Sylvie and go into the trance state, which is a bit like sleeping, falling off a log, becoming unconscious, having an out-of-body experience, and all of those rolled into one. Do have a great show, and it's over to Sylv. Goodbye.
Yes, thanks, Mick. As Mick said, if you want to know anything more about us and how we do this, about trance or anything like that, just go to our website, which is spirit-teaching.com. But Gregory Hay is the spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, and they are made up of scientific minds of all description, plus ordinary people. They're an educational team and have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life, to understand the nature of our existence and help us to evaluate our lives differently. So when Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory Hay. So it's not just Mick passing the information to us. He won't be aware of what is happening, and it will be a completely different person who will be taking the show, spirit guide Gregory Hay in this case. So, once again, if you have a question for Gregory regarding our show topic of developing your gifts of spirit, do phone the toll-free number in the U.S. is 877-876-5227, and Canada is 888-810-8322. But I'd just quickly like to mention that we do have another show, an Akashic Reading show, our mini free Akashic Readings. The next one on the Monday will be the 16th of like a mini Akashic reading, we would need your full name at birth, that's including your middle names, your date of birth, one question, and your telephone number. And you email that to enq@spirit-teachings.com, and we will communicate with you. Okay. So, well, I do believe Gregory's with us now. Hello, Gregory.
With love and light, as always, dear friend, be upon your pathway and your journey.
Thank you. So, well, we're on part five then tonight. And there's something I think that we ought to expand upon, I think, that we haven't really, we've only just brushed the subject of sitting in circle and developing it in the different ways that you can develop your mediumship.
Yes, quite so. Well, it isn't just, of course, sitting in circle, because a circle can actually be of just two people. So many people, they may not actually know or be aware of any spirit circles which may be near to them. So what are you going to do if you're just a person on their own? How are you going to be developing your spirit gifts if you are just in this isolated situation? Now, it doesn't mean to say that you can't develop them, because you can. Many beings, many people on your side of life are able to actually transcend the physical life in purely sitting for their spirit development, that is, in meditating, in taking the time to meditate, specifically asking for those in the spirit world to connect with them. Obviously, they would always cite that you want your highest guides and helpers second to none, and that you are protected from any negative related energy. This is something really to help you in your own personal attunement. But what of the situation of, well, if you want to actually progress from that in a different way? I'm not saying that you cannot progress if you meditate in an isolated state. You can, of course you can, and that is something which is available to every single human being. It is a simple thing to do, as we have often stressed and stated. It is simple because it must be open for everyone to be able to achieve perfect meditation. It isn't about your quality of intellect. It isn't about whether you are the brightest coin in the box or even the cleanest plank in the woodpile. You do not have to have a great vocabulary. You do not have to have already led a very full and spiritual life. Meditation is something which is open to all beings. To help a human being, that is a spirit having a physical existence, to actually transcend those efforts they make in the physical domain and actually help every single individual to become more in touch with their spirit identity, yes, but also with their upper house, their higher consciousness, so that you as an individual can actually better make judgments and decisions for yourself and for your life, for the betterment of all beings. Now, in the situation then of human beings wanting to perhaps be fulfilled in other ways, to do with their spiritual development, then what you really need to do is to perhaps find a friend who will sit with you. And perhaps if they are also wanting to take upon themselves a form of spiritual development, then perhaps you can sit for one another. And in that way, you can help one another along. When I say sit for one another, what I really mean is that in the situation when you are sitting for spirit development, so that is relationships with yourself, with other beings in the spirit world, you really need to try to have to do it in such a way that you have another being in physical life who is there with you. Just because it makes it simpler, it means means that you can have feedback from that other person when you are meditating yourself, and they will actually be sitting for you. It doesn't always have to be this way. I'm just describing one way of you doing it. So if you meditate with another person, it may be that you both meditate at the same time. Or you may take it in turns, and one person stays in the physical side of life with awareness, full awareness and everything else, and that person would just be observing you as the meditator to see what effects the spirit world are able to bring to you, and to help you as a sitter for that person to actually observe what spirit are able to bring. And this will actually help to acclimatize your own spirit development, even though you aren't actually meditating at that time, because it can be very interesting to actually see, to open your eyes and actually see and observe different effects that the spirit world may be bringing to that person that you're sitting for, you see?
Yes, because you can sense energies then around the person, can't you?
Yes, quite so. And this is all part of your development as well. So crucial to it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, when people are sitting like that, is there any sort of particular, shall we say, rules and regulations, or how many times a week should they be doing that?
Well, there is no fixed regime for this. You can sit as many times as you wish to sit for it. I wouldn't overdo it, because you don't want it to become a burden to your life. So do something that is comfortable for you to fit into your everyday existence or into your weekly cycle or something like that. We know of many people who actually do this only once a week, and that's the only time that they'll sit for spirit, and then wonder why they're not developing. So I would suggest that you do it more than once a week, most certainly, and the more times that you do sit for your spirit development, then the further along the road you will progress, naturally. So the more that you put in, the greater yield you will bring from it. And that doesn't mean to say that you're there thinking that if I do this, then I will have this great bountiful explosion of gifts all around me. It doesn't actually work like that. But you really have to work at it and not really think of those thoughts as a preliminary expression of you actually taking part in meditating. Your thought should be purely and simply that you want to transcend the physical thoughts and the physical feelings that you have and become more spiritually uplifted in the sense of connection.
And how long should they do this for?
Well, we would suggest really that if it is, shall we say then, two people sitting in a one-to-one situation, if you sit for one another, I would suggest that you do this for perhaps, say, half an hour, 30 minutes, or perhaps 40 minutes.
Each person. You change.
And then you change around. And so, so that you both have the chance to experience similar things. And in that way, you see, you will both gain knowledge and understanding. And that is just a simple way of doing it.
And the main thing I would have to mention is that not to feel that you are not getting as much as the other person is or something like that, because you will be developing different skills in a different way, different time period.
Yes.
Things like that.
Absolutely.
Anything could be happening. So don't compare yourself with your partner.
Quite so. That is actually the worst thing that you can do. Oh, well, you got this much and I didn't get anything at all. Well, that's actually because it's holding you back, because your thoughts and your feelings are not elevated sufficiently to understand that what they are getting is purely to do with their gift of spirit, and that they are connecting with it by the very fact of you perhaps being negative toward that connection and feeling belittled by it. Simply means that you are not transcending the physical voice, the physical voyage that you are meant to be, you see. So what you really need to do is to actually set that previous physical thought to one side and actually understand that you as a being can and will grow and progress due to this situation. You may not do it the same as your friend, quite simply because you are both individual beings. And what has happened in your life is not the same as what has happened in your friend's life. And the genetic pathway and all of that may have a little bit of a bearing upon it, but don't take the stock answer that just because your parents or someone else in your family has already progressed in a spiritual way that you are also then bequeathed it because of that. It isn't something which runs in families, although it may well be that it is something that a child takes on purely because of the love ambience that's there. That isn't a genetic situation. It just means to say that because your father did it and perhaps the things, the thoughts and feelings, the knowledge that that human being has is something which he obviously or she obviously passes to you as their child. They want you to have the best there is, and they want to share the information and knowledge that they have. And that really is a pure reason for it. Now, I understand as well that there will be those people who will say, well, yes, I've always had it from birth, and that they have been clairaudient, clairsentient, and they have been able to use all of that from a very early age. These are situations which are quite and perfectly natural. It may well be that they have had an uninterrupted scale of living, which means that when they came from the spirit world as a pure spirit being and came and entered into the physical body, they were able to keep and maintain their previous thoughts and consciousness from their spirit life. And that is something which is evident and showing itself in that way. So their connection will continue and it merely progress.
What about if one of the people doesn't actually want to particularly develop any gifts of spirit, but just wants to sit for the other person, but also maybe go off in meditation too? Can she say, look, I don't want to do this, but I'd like to meditate for me?
Yes, and then that is perfectly right and proper to do that. And it will be for the other person to willingly want to help them with that. So there should be nothing to do with ego within this situation. There should be no animosity. The key to the productivity of sitting for meditation is harmony. That is the greatest key that you can have. And coupled with that are these feelings and energies of positivity. And, of course, what you will develop in this scenario is a great boundaryless feeling of love. That is the prime energy, because what you are doing is when you are actually sitting and meditating, you're actually causing a chemical reaction in your physical body system, which is releasing serotonin. And what serotonin does is it amplifies and creates more loving energy within you. So you are just purely filling up your well of love. And that is what meditation is all about. Because by doing that, by filling up your well of love, you are actually then going to act in a greater harmonic toward everyone else that you meet. You will not crush flies, you will not, well, perhaps you still will, but you possibly will have a different attitude toward other people and some other beings. I know that I say this with cautiousness because, quite simply, some people, because they have been doing a specific behavior for so long during their life, that they feel that they cannot break out of that. It just becomes a sort of a habit. We don't want your meditation to become a habit that you just merely repeat again and again. You're not going to get very far with that sort of attitude. This is something that you need to really focus upon and be aware that it will possibly change your life experience. And the more that you do it, the more your experience will change and alter for the better.
I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about developing your gifts of spirit. If you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject, then the phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you. The number to call is toll-free in the U.S., 877-876-5227, Canada, 888-810-8322. Okay, so what about when we do this meditation? There's certain things that we should do. We should have water. Am I correct that we should have a glass of water?
Yes.
Why is this?
You need to have water partly because of the cleansing quality that water has. You need to be able to keep your throat and your that whole area well lubricated. You need to also drink plenty of water purely because of the energy situation. Now, some people may find this difficult, perhaps, especially those who are just beginning on this pathway. The point is that energy is not something necessarily that you can see. When you are dealing with beings in the spirit world, they are of energy. They're not a physical vibration, but their energy remains as though they were physical, in a sense. And sometimes people on your side of life are able to mix with it, are able to illuminate it and be aware of what that energy contains. Water is a conductor, is a purifier and a conductor. So it enables you as a being to actually continue to sit and continue to meditate and to actually be more fulfilled. You will become possibly dehydrated at times, particularly if you are sitting meditating in the summer months. But you need to have a glass of water in any event, including during the winter, purely and simply, as I say, for it is an act of cleansing for your physical body. So you do not want to have any negative thoughts when you go to sit for meditation, for example. So it doesn't do well if you are, let me see now, yes, if you are perhaps, if you've had dealings during your day, shall we say, and they have been somewhat negative, then the wrong path for you to take would be perhaps to turn up at your friend's house, or your friend turns up at your house, or you go to a meeting of an open circle or something like that where more than just a few people are sitting. And the worst thing that you can do is to repeat the situation about the story and events of your day.
That's a classic, isn't it?
Absolutely. And so many people do it. They will perhaps go to a church or whatever, and they will perhaps meet in that sort of environment. I know that you don't necessarily do that in the United States where you are now.
In a spiritualist church.
In a spiritualist church, yes, quite so. No, you wouldn't do it in any other sort
of church
either. Well,
I know, but I didn't know. I thought I'd clarify that.
Yes, quite so, yes. And so, you see, the worst thing that you can do is to actually go to a meeting, shall we say then, a specific meeting at a center or something like that, and then regurgitate all the things that have happened in your day. That means that you're carrying them around with you, and then you're just unloading them on somebody else to have contaminated their mind with your thoughts and your not very nice day. So it isn't a good thing to do. The main thing to do is to keep quiet. And this really should be something that you begin before you even leave your house or even before you begin to think about how you would like to meditate, or perhaps it's a prior arrangement or something like that you've already made. You see, so you don't want to be having all of these thoughts on the way to the situation either. I'm thinking about perhaps the shopping that I need to do afterwards, or the conversations that you've had that day, or perhaps even something to do with bills that you've got to pay. I don't know, some other forms of mundane stuff, rubbish, just the flotsam of life that carries you along willy-nilly from one day to another. You don't want to be having any of that. The best thing that you can do, if you want to really, truly prepare, first of all, to meditate, and we will leave aside for the moment whether the students are meditating during their lunch break or something like that. We'll address that in a moment. So if you are being, shall we say, and you are due to meditate at 7 o'clock that evening, perhaps with a few friends or something, you're going to go to someone else's house, shall we say, then what we would suggest that you do is don't leave it to the last moment to leave your house, but actually leave in good time. And perhaps before you leave, between you returning from work to your house and then getting ready and going to leave for meditation, what you need to do is have a bath or a shower or something like that. Use water to cleanse yourself, to actually cleanse your body, is to cleanse your spirit and your spirit connection. And what you're actually doing when you're doing this is not just a physical thing, you see. Because what you are doing is, and forgive me, but I wish you to connect with this, that what you need to do is you need to actually connect in such a way in thinking that as you are washing your body, you are washing your negative thoughts away. You are using the water to cleanse your physical state from the day's journey, because you don't want to take it with you. You want to keep your thoughts as pure as you can. The reason for this, my friends, is because if you are going to sit for connection with the spirit world, then your thoughts need to be pure. They don't want to be cluttered up with the day's events, and they don't want to harbor negative ill feelings about what has just happened to you. Otherwise, if you allow that sort of behavior to happen, you will not be respectful to yourself, and you won't be respectful to the spirit world either. I know of many people who do not do any of this, and they just abuse their bodies, drink wine and that kind of thing before they are going to communicate with spirit, or even do it during communication with spirit. That is so disrespectful. It's not necessary, and how can you possibly say then that you are actually in full communication? You can't. But because of the fact that you have allowed your physical state to become less than operative, you are allowing the possibility of negative beings from the spirit world to actually infiltrate the proceedings. I know that there are many people who would suggest that this is not actually physically possible, that they are much too advanced to allow any possibility of beings from the spirit world with negative traits and feelings of ill will to infiltrate their minds. But I assure you that we come across daily hundreds of beings who have done just that.
Well, I think it's not only disrespectful to be having had alcohol during or before you do work for spirit, but I mean, how would people like it if somebody came through drunk, if a spirit guide or whatever came through having had a few drinks? I mean,
yes, or swearing or something like that.
Yes, or actually a drunk person.
Yes.
Some drunk, I mean, you know, it's just crazy. But yes, we do know people that do that.
And that is, yes, quite so. And that is exactly, you see, part of the real big problem that I have personally with many beings in the physical world is that their lack of respect of themselves and ultimately their spirit contact.
Yeah. So So also we would say make sure you turn the phones off.
Yes, absolutely. So always pull the plug out or whatever it is that you have to do.
You may think that this sounds obvious, but you'd be surprised at how many people forget that. Or for instance, another one is if you've just started, that you wouldn't get up either to answer the phone or answer the door or anything like that once you have started your sit for spirit. It's not that you can break off and come and sit back down, and that's disrespectful too. And not only that, you will never get anywhere.
Yes, quite so.
Doing that sort of thing.
Although, I have to say, we do know of people who have done that, all of the above, and still succeed in making contact with the spirit world. But what we have to say about that is that their contact is not going to be as good as it would have been had they respected the situation. Yes, there are many beings in the spirit world who work with anyone, believe me. They will. They'll work with anyone. It doesn't matter whether that person is of religious significance or not. And it may not necessarily be someone who actually sits for spirit, after all. It could be someone who actually thinks that all of that is evil or whatever. And that their connotation is that they are actually working with Jesus or that energy, you see. And they're only really fooling themselves. Because actually, what they are doing, they are still opening up and transcending the physical state. Yes, I know there are many people who want to aspire to work with Jesus or Mother Mary or whoever it is. But just because you feel an energy close to you or you feel empowered in this way doesn't mean to say that that is the energy you're using, the Christ energy. It doesn't mean that at all. And that is really just an egotistical effect which human beings bring upon the situation to validate themselves and their work. So this may, as I say, not necessarily be something of a confinement to do with people thinking that they're actually communicating with beings in the spirit world. They may actually feel that they're communicating words from a specific icon of their own religion. And that is the situation of their healing. After all, for example, I would have to cite that many clergy say that only through their hands can God's energy pass, or can Jesus' energy pass. Which, of course, is completely the wrong thing to do, because that is like saying that I hold all the power. And that you only can come to this being through me. And it isn't like that at all. I'm not saying that you as a normal mortal human being cannot communicate with Christ energy or with Jesus. I'm not saying that at all. And I know that many beings who have transcended much of the physical state of life and have become most certainly spiritually uplifted because of their visionary experiences and their closeness with that specific energy of that particular being. And it is really a statement of their intention as to whether they can then happily accept other people's connection with similar energies, and not instead say to them, well, you aren't doing what I'm doing, or you're not a part of my religion or my group, so therefore what you're doing must be evil. This energy, the energy of working with the spirit world, is open to everyone, and no one has commandeered it over someone else. It is a shared experience. An individual experience too. But it is most necessary to note that everyone here in the physical state is on an even footing. Perhaps it may be that some are more even than others.
What about food?
Food.
Don't eat a big meal immediately before you sit for your meditation.
No, not immediately before. It is best to eat something perhaps an hour or two before you sit or communicate with the spirit world. I know of, again, that there are many people who will actually eat just before they're going to sit. That's completely the wrong thing to do, because what you will have is that a person who does that will mean that their stomach will turn over. You will have all of that ingestion which will happen. The digestive juices will be acting and there will be lots of gases building up within the stomach cavity. And naturally, because of the fact that you are communicating with the spirit world, in whatever way that makes itself manifest, I'm not saying that you all have to be deep trance mediums or anything like that. What I am saying is that perhaps in your group or however you sit, that perhaps you are impressed to say something. You may be aware of it. It may be that you are impressed to say something about the other person's relatives or family. Perhaps you have a message for them from a loved one. Perhaps you feel these energies coming close to you. Well, it wouldn't be much good if you did that and all the time you were having a gurgling stomach or something like that. And it can actually make you feel very uncomfortable at the time.
Yes. So, shall we move on to a larger circle situation?
Yes, let's. Absolutely.
So basically what we're talking about is a group of people, maybe a group of friends, getting together.
Yes.
And sitting for their spirit development as a group rather than just one-on-one.
Yes. The first thing to say about this group situation is that we would suggest that everyone arrive a little while before, at least 20 minutes or perhaps 15 minutes at the latest, before the time you want you to sit. So if a sitting is to begin at 7 o'clock, then you need to arrive at 15 minutes to the hour of 7 o'clock. Otherwise, if you do not, then you are going to feel flustered. You are still going to have the situation of your day and what you have been thinking, perhaps in your drive to the destination or something like that. So you need to have the time to be able to set that to one side before you start to meditate.
And as you walk through the door, as we said before, you know, I know it's nice to see your friends. Oh, we're here again, you know, chit-chat, but save it for afterwards. Please save it for afterwards.
Yes, you can do any amount of talking afterward. You don't have to rush off to the public house or to the ale house or something like that or go and see friends. Try not to cram too much into this time because it's a sacred time. That is something which is significant to your life. Sacredness.
Absolutely. So say there's a group of, say, 6 or 8 people.
Yes.
How do they format this circle? Do they all go off? Does somebody stay with it? Should they have a medium there?
Yes. Well, usually the best thing to do is to, hopefully, that you would have someone who has actually already proved themselves with mediumistic skills. And so they would be able to perhaps take the circle for you. And by this I mean that they would actually perhaps be the person who would stay in the physical side of life, in completely aware of the physical state and actually observe the goings-on of all of the other sitters. You need someone to be able to actually observe the situation, particularly someone who is gifted, if at all possible. I know this may not be possible for some groups who are just starting out and they don't really know what they're doing. But it doesn't mean to say that just because you don't know what you're doing that you can't sit in this form of development circle. You are quite perfectly capable of organizing a circle of friends and being able to hold a meeting like this. You aren't going to be at risk so long as you say very specific words of protection before you begin. So someone needs to be elected to actually say words of invocation to begin the situation, to begin the sitting.
Absolutely. absolutely. And then when you all get brave, you can take it in turns, as long as certain words are spoken, you know, asking for the highest and the best only and the protection. And it's good practice, isn't it?
Yes, and it's a good skill to acquire, really, because you as a being need to be able to say and to voice what it is that you want to create in your sitting. And that is the point, really. So if you are meeting with a group of friends, shall we say, and you are all wanting to perhaps sit for your spirit gifts, but you're not quite sure exactly what those spirit gifts are, then you need to say exactly that. So in your invocation or prayer, we don't necessarily call it a prayer. It is what you are doing is you are communicating, you're striking out and communicating to the spirit world, please help us to do this. That's what you're doing. That's what you're asking of those of the unseen forces to help you in achieving. And by actually saying what it is that you want to achieve, perhaps it is to do with the clairvoyance, clairaudience, or clairsentience. Perhaps it is to do with purely just communication from the spirit world in some way. That's perfectly all right. That will do. You don't have to make it complicated. You don't have to string out great long sentences of spiritual upliftment and wisdom. You can if you want. Or you can just make it as simple and normal as talking to your friend who is sitting next to you. And we advise you that this is the road that you take. Just treat it as a normal situation. That all you're doing is you're asking the spirit world creator, whomsoever it is, whatever religious feeling or connotation you have within you, if that is where you're coming from, then do that. And use that as a vehicle for the expression. Otherwise, just say God or nothing. Just say, please, dear friends, help us to achieve this. And then say what it is you want to achieve.
Yes, well, many people call in the angels or however.
Oh, yes, quite so.
Yes.
And they're perfectly entitled to do that as well. Whatever it is that, as you say on your side of life, floats your boat.
Yes. So sitting on a regular basis for attunement with your guides or just stilling your mind and sitting with your spirit really is not to presume who this might be that might be coming to you or around you and not actually be looking for anything in particular. Just being in a passive situation.
Absolutely, yes.
And the harmony is paramount.
Above all.
Yes. Specifically in a situation where you have six or eight people or whatever, you really, really have got to congratulate and cheer and be so, so happy for anything that anybody else achieves.
Yes, absolutely. Look at it this way, my friends, that if someone in the group achieves a beautiful connection, it isn't just to do with them, is it now? It is because of the harmony created within the whole room. Within the whole group. So it is, in fact, a shared experience. You may not be speaking words of wisdom, but possibly someone who is speaking for the whole group. That doesn't mean to say that they're using their brain. It may be that someone from the spirit world has come to give encouragement in some way. And it may well be that that person is using their brain, is using their own consciousness to create something to say. It doesn't matter if that's what they feel right, if that's what they feel impressed to do at the time, because that too can become a form of, a possible form of gift that that person has. And every part of a gift of the spirit should be encouraged. Just the same as if you had the gift to paint or draw or write. Do something else in a creative way. Work with metal, work with wood. Whatever it is that you're doing which is physically attractive and attracting toward other beings, is personifying the beauty that is within you, as well as with your connection with the spirit world. That is what you're creating. So welcome these things. Be embracing of them. Don't think that, who do they think they are? Because you're never going to get anywhere if you think that. Try to embrace whatever energies people are drawn to, and try to give understanding, even if you may think that they are completely mad.
We talk about solar plexus a lot, don't we? In the way of giving energy.
Yes.
Healing energy, accepting energy, negative energy, good energy from other people.
Yes.
What is so important? Why our solar plexus?
Because it is the most delicate area on your physical body, more so than your head, even. The reason for this is because it is a very tender, sensitive place. It is actually where the center of your energy from the well of love within itself comes from. Doesn't come from your heart, that's a pump. It doesn't come from your brain or from the physical organ that you have. The well of love within itself is coming through your solar plexus. That is where it is coming through. And you are connecting with other energies around and about you primarily through this motivation, through this actual place on your physical body. And what happens then if perhaps people are not being as harmonic as they might, you will actually feel pain in your solar plexus from it.
Sickly even.
Yes, quite so. It can actually turn your stomach. So this is, incidentally, a really good indication of part of your path of passage, if you like. You may pick up a great deal of sensitivity through this very vital place of sensitivity, the energy highway, if you like.
So is this where you can sense if somebody doesn't like you, or if there's some sort of argument been going on in the room and you walk in and you're picking something up, that is where it's coming into you?
And that is where it is hitting, yes.
Right.
That is the point of entry, always. It isn't through your heads, not through your ear. It is through your solar plexus. That is the place of entry that you will feel it first. And then you can respond to it. Usually, if it is a negative energy, respond as quick as you can by putting your hand over it.
Yes. Or a mirror. If you've got a mirror
in
the hand.
Yes.
If you're that well equipped, like I am.
Yes. Quite so. Yes, absolutely. But some people are, you see, because perhaps, for example, for you, it is because you are hypersensitive there.
Mm.
And that is your connection with the earth. And so that is the same for many people, that your solar plexus is, in fact, your earthly connection.
Mm.
And the connection that enables you to actually really focus upon what situations are around and about you.
Mm.
So you actually harmonically are able to work out exactly what to do. And this is also something which perhaps may guide you in the situation of people actually sitting in a certain way or a certain order in the room. So perhaps then, shall we say, you've met with your group of friends, you haven't said a lot, and you all go to sit down in the chairs that are available. Try to make these chairs as straight as possible. They don't want to be large lounging sofas and that kind of thing. They really need to be quite upright. Kitchen chairs or something like that, dining chairs.
Plastic garden chairs are good.
Or plastic garden chairs are very good, yes, because they are completely non-reposit. They don't take any energy in and they don't give any energy out. Yes. And so the thing to do is to just be aware that as the people are sitting down, that you may actually become aware that certain people don't feel right if they're sitting in a certain seat. And you may have to move some people about in order to balance the energy properly within the room. Why is this? Because everyone's different, and everyone's energy has a different index. And so what you're actually doing when you look at the room and you're presented with this situation of perhaps eight faces looking at you, is that each one of those has a specific index of vibration. And depending upon their harmonic layering and that kind of thing, what's happened to them in their lives, how they're feeling at that moment, will depend upon, of course, what's in their auric field. But also, all of this will transition into how they are exhibiting their energy that moment. So you need to, possibly if you are running the circle, you will need to alter people where people sit so that it is more harmonic within the group.
And we usually male-female, don't we?
Yes, usually male-female, yes. If there are all women in the group or just two men, don't worry over it. But you still need to be able to sit those people in a very specific way. So someone ought to really try to take on that task. Try to connect with it in that way. Perhaps maybe even think of it or meditate over it a little beforehand.
Okay, we've just got a couple of minutes left.
Yes.
Can I just go back to the solar plexus again?
Please
I've
do.
I've just had a thought. So if you're lying in bed and you're sending out your love, just sending your love out to the ether world, to the spirit world, to the creator, whatever, just to do with it what, you know, what is really best for whoever, does that come from your solar plexus?
Well,
in that respect?
It may do. It doesn't necessarily. I would have to say, really, in the main, most energy that you send out to the spirit world or energy that you bring into yourself is really through the solar plexus, although I am aware that with serotonin playing a large part of the well of love within a self, it means that it could possibly be actually focused through your psychic connection or through your higher level energy. And to do with that connection, what you would actually do is perhaps you would meditate on sending that energy out. Yes, it will feel as though it is being drawn out through your solar plexus, but it may actually then collect outside of your physical body before you actually send it away.
Okay. It's like your little radar, isn't it?
Yes, quite so. And of course, it doesn't mean to say that you necessarily have to have some specific being to send it to. You may, if you want to send it as a prayer or as a thought to someone else that you know is sick or something like that, then do that.
Absolutely. Well, that's wonderful. And all this that we've been talking about is free, folks.
Absolutely free.
You just need you and your spirit and maybe a few friends, seen and unseen.
Yes, absolutely so.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Gregory. It's been wonderful once again.
Thank you. With love and light, as always, dear friends, be at peace upon your pathway. Until next time, goodbye.
Well, I'd like to mention once again, don't forget our mini Akashic readings that are free. We want your full name at birth, including your middle name, your date of birth, one question, phone number, and then email this to enq@spirit-teaching.com. And our next Monday night show that we'll be doing this is the 16th of April. Okay, so do email us and then we'll just contact you. Okay, well, I do hope you've enjoyed the show. We didn't get any callers today, but I'm sure that's because you were riveted listening at home. And I'd like to mention our website again. It's spirit-teaching.com. And say, well, thank you very much for listening to the wonderful BBS Radio and joining us on Spirit's Work this week. My name is Sylvie Avery, and until next time, be peaceful, be positive, focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.